Welcome to Daily Living with Father Chapin, where we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Yes, my friend, that is what we do. Sometimes the Bible can be a bit confusing, so we bust it down like a fraction. We're asking questions along the way. Questions like, what do these Gospels mean to me? That's what I want to know. How can I take these Gospels and apply them into my daily living so that I can become a reflection of God's love to a world that, let's face it, don't know God for sure and definitely is in deep need of more love? Don't you think? I mean, take a look around. There's a lot of bad news bears out there. How can I take the good news of Jesus Christ and apply it into my daily living so that I can become light in this present darkness? I want to be a tool in the hand of God, making present His kingdom, not someday, but today and every day. And that is what this show is all about. And I'm so glad you could join us today. Oh, we got a good one. Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. That's what we're going to be talking about today. But before we do, let us just quiet our minds for a little bit, you know, kind of breathe. It's so easy to get so caught up in the gerbil wheel of life that we're running here and running there and doing that and doing this. And how often do we just stop and say, what am I doing? Where am I going? The good news about the good news is that God wants to lead you, and He does it in many different ways in what I call the quiet voice. And the quiet voice is, well, quiet and will not raise itself up to compete with the screaming voices of this world. So since it won't raise itself up, we got to dial ourselves in. And there's many ways to do that. But one very powerful way is His Word. Because His Word is alive. And it will meet you where you are in life. It is my prayer for me. It is my prayer for you that God will speak to you powerfully through His Word today. So what do you say? I quit yipping about this and we get right on into it. We are hearing from, the Gospel of John. It is the first chapter, verses 29 through 34. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. He is the one of whom I said, a man is coming after me who ranks ahead of me because he existed before me. I did not know him, but the reason why I came baptizing with water was so that he might be known to all of Israel." John testified further, saying, "I saw the Spirit come down like a dove from heaven and remain upon him. I did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'On whomever you see the Spirit come down and remain, he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' Now I have seen and testified that he is the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord. Wow, what a gospel it is. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. Calling the kids. It's going to be good. We'll be right back. We're going to talk about this gospel and a few other things here as we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living with Father Chapin. It is such a pleasure to be able to come into your home each and every week and share the good news, but it's a bit expensive. So I would ask you to consider grabbing a piece of paper and a pencil, and at the next break, I'm going to share with you some details how you can become a partner with Daily Living, and together, we can take the good news to a lost world. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. Wow. What a thing to say. Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. What does that really mean, coming from the mouth of John the Baptist? Well, that's what I want to talk about today. Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. What does that really mean? Well, let's begin by acknowledging that we do, in fact, live in a world full of sin that needs to be taken away. I mean, I think we can all agree on that one. Clearly, we have lost our way, and that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And since divine law is that the wages of sin is death, even though God is definitely a God of mercy, He's also very much a God of justice. And with justice comes judgment and punishment for sin. That is a divine law, which is why God so loved the world that He sent His only Son to take our sin upon Himself. And in doing so, He established God's kingdom through His obedience as He honors God's divine law. Jesus, who is Logos, becomes flesh and dwells among us, taking upon Himself our sin and becoming obedient to the reality of death, even death on a cross, which is how He becomes the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus, who is fully divine, yet at the same time fully human, they call it the hypostatic union. He is Son of God, yet also Son of Mary, as He gives up His life for us sinners to try to bring us back to God. That, my friends, that is, in a nutshell, what Christianity is all about. A story that I've been hearing ever since I was crawling around the pews as a baby. Of course, throughout Catholic schools and into my adulthood, Jesus died for my sins. Of course, as a child, it was confusing. Looking at this man hanging on a cross, suffering so terribly. And somehow it's for me, something that I did. Like I said, confusing. And actually kind of scary. But this is the story of Christianity. Now, as a child, and later as an adult, I had a yearning to belong, to be a part of. I had this yearning and continue to have it today because I'm a human being. And the desire to feel like you belong, the desire to feel like you're a part of, is fundamental to the human experience. Because as people, and I know because I'm a people, there's really three things we're looking for. Number one, we're looking for peace. I mean, happiness is nice, but what we're really looking for is peace. Number two, we're looking for safety, security. We have a need to feel safe. And number three, we're looking to be a part of, to belong. And for many of us, there's a great fear that somehow we don't. So we seek to belong. From the earliest years, on the school recess yard, and then throughout high school, as we form our cliques, and then later on in life, as maybe it becomes a political movement, or maybe a social cause. But there's something about humanity that has a fundamental need to be a part of something larger than itself. So anyway, getting back to the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. What does that really mean? Well, let's consider the image of the Lamb. We see the image of the Lamb throughout Scripture, both Old and New Testament, mentioned more than 500 times, way more than any other animal. We see it in the very beginning in Genesis, when Abel offers God a lamb for a sacrifice. Later on, we see a lamb caught in a thicket when Abraham is to sacrifice his son Isaac. Lambs become an integral part of Jewish temple worship. A lamb was sacrificed twice a day, every day, 365 in the temple. Why? To atone for the sin of the people. Now, that word atone means making amends. It's kind of covering up. It's like reparations. But you know what atonement doesn't do? It doesn't take away anything. Atonement doesn't remit. Atonement is more like a balancing of the scales. But that is not what John the Baptist is saying today. When he says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world," that's an entirely new concept. But what does it really mean? Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Well, let's look at that word behold. Behold. The Latin is ecce. It means admiration, wonderment, exclamation. But here's the question. When we stare at a crucifix, which, by the way, is how Jesus became the Lamb of God, when we stare at a crucifix, do we find those feelings? I would suggest that for most of us, the answer is not really. Because rather than admiration or wonderment, it's unpleasant. It's threatening. As we look at this man dying on a cross, the fear of our own death creeps upon us. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is what comes from the lips of John the Baptist. Why did he say this? What was he trying to teach his disciples? Well, I think what he was saying is, think of him. Study him. Know all you can know about him. Look him up and down. Follow him. Now, getting back to our human condition. Remember, there's three things that we're looking for. We're looking for peace, we're looking for security, we're looking to belong, to be a part of. This is what we do. And along the way, we judge. It is human to judge, and we do it all the time, constantly. We watch, we listen, we look up and down, and often our judgment changes. Consider the next door neighbor that maybe you don't really know very well, but he seems like a good guy, seems like a good father. You see him playing out in the yard with his kids. Whenever you see him, you always wave, a warm smile, hello. So he seems like a great guy. But then you hear the gossip. Turns out he was caught having an affair on his wife, and now they're having a divorce. And boom, your judgment changes, doesn't it? Next time you look at him, you're looking at him up and down. Next time you consider him, you're thinking, well, not such a good father, not such a good husband, poor kids. Or maybe you meet somebody, and you know, they seem nice enough, and so you begin a friendship, but then you go to dinner with that person, and they're incredibly rude to your waiter. Boom, your judgment changes. This is how we judge. Now, I bring this up to make the point that this is how the world judges us. Because there's certain rules, there's certain norms and customs to every society. And if you follow the rules and the norms and collective ethics of the society, well, then you're deemed as good, as acceptable. You're a part of. But you decide to break those rules, there's a cost. Why? Because if we choose to be a part of any group with benefits, we become accountable to that group. We follow their rules, and they give us what we need. Like I said, what do we need? We need peace, we need safety, and a sense of belonging. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. You hang out. We'll be right back And we will continue to talk about this. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. What does that really mean? And how can we apply it into our daily living? Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living. If you feel like you're being fed by this ministry, I would ask you to prayerfully consider a partnership with Daily Living and what we're trying to do here. A monthly gift of any amount that you feel comfortable with, and I will send you a monthly newsletter, and if you provide an email address, a script of the show prior to its broadcast. Just write a check to Daily Living, P.O. Box 339, Nitro, West Virginia, 25143. You can also go on the website at mydailyliving.com and give through PayPal, and together we can shine the light of the good news in a whole lot of dark places. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. Not just for the break, I had made the point that as people, and I know this to be true because I'm a people, we're looking for peace, we're looking for security, and we're looking for a sense of belonging. Consider our government. It provides us with an economy where hopefully we have a chance to thrive and succeed and find peace. It provides us safety, policemen, firemen. When we become old or infirmed, it provides us with Social Security or welfare. We are a part of, we are taken care of, but there are rules. And if we break the rules, we're punished. If we don't pay our taxes, if we steal, if we are violent, we are punished. There's judgment. Why? Because like I said, if you want to be a part of any group and enjoy the benefits of that group, you make yourselves accountable to that group. Now, if you take that model and shift it to our own personal ethic, what kind of person do I want to be? Who am I accountable to? Well, if we're being honest, for most of us, we're accountable kind of to ourselves, and which is okay to a degree, but if it ends there, if it ends up with we make our own rules, we develop our own ethic, we decide what is good and bad, all the while hoping that good enough is good enough and we'll be afforded the benefits of our society, but whatever we do in secret, well, that's really nobody's business, because as far as accountability, we're really only accountable to ourselves. Well, then we become the god of our own life, and that is a fruit, my friend, that Lucifer has been passing out since the garden. The big lie. Remember, when Eve told Satan that they could not eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, what did he say? He says, no, you won't die. You'll be as God, knowing the difference between good and evil. In other words, you don't need God because you can become your own God. The big lie. A lie this world has bought hook, line, and sinker. And, well, we've seen how that worked out. They were thrown out of Eden and separated from God. And now the promise of death is looming. No longer peace, no longer safety, no longer being a part of. And this is the world that we find ourselves living in today. Because here's the problem. If you are the highest sense of accountability in your life, then you have made yourself the god of your own understanding. And as people, we're simply ill-equipped to deal with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which is why God told Adam to stay away from it. It's almost like he knew what he was doing, because I can assure you this, that neighbor who had the affair, or the one who didn't pay their taxes, or the thief, the one thing they all have in common was at the time they thought it was good. as long as they didn't get caught. But here's the problem. Caught by who? My friends, there are no secrets in heaven. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Once upon a time, the devil and his demons had a meeting in hell, and they were debating on how best to carry out the destruction of humanity. And one demon rose and said, "Well, I have gone forth and told humans that there is no God, there is no hereafter, and there really isn't any difference between good and evil. It's all just perspective. So why not just eat, drink, and be merry?" But Satan looked at him and he said, "You have done a small service. For humans have been born with a conscience, and their conscience teaches them better. They know that there is a God. They know that there is a difference between good and evil. They know that there must be judgment. You have done little." So another demon rose, and he said, "I've done better. I told them the Bible was a worn-out book written by a man, and they didn't need to believe it." Ha! Satan looked at him and said, "Ah, it is a vain effort to meddle with the old book. It has taken care of itself for 2,000 years, and it continues to do so today. It is like rock. There is no shaking it. Your service may last a while, but it will soon pass. You have done little." And the room fell silent. Finally, a demon rose and spoke. "I have told them that they have souls that were meant for the hereafter, and that there is a God. And I told them that the Bible is true. But then I whisper in their ear, 'You got plenty of time to consider the Jesus business.' A hush fell across the room. And Satan said, 'You have done best of all. The greatest net in which I snare souls is the snare of delay. Oh, I'll get to it someday. But you know what the problem with someday is? Someday never comes. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world.'" My friends, the question is simply this: who are you accountable to today? Where there is a crime, there must be judgment. And we are all thieves hanging on a cross. Guilty of one of a thousand things. Could be adultery, could be thievery, could be tax evasion, could be many, many, many different things. Whatever it is, we've all got the fruit of that tree on our breath. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Behold him. Ecce him. Look him up and down. Stop struggling with the tree and look to him. Strive to be like him. Be accountable to him. Act as if you are a disciple. Watch his footsteps and follow him. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Once upon a time, there were two men. They had grown up together, same neighborhood. They knew each other since children. And they did everything together. They were great friends. But time went by and, well, they grew apart, lost touch. You know how it goes. One grew up to be a judge, the other a thief. And one day, the thief was brought before the judge. Hadn't seen each other for years. And the judge's heart almost stopped. He was conflicted because he loved him like a brother. Yet a crime had been committed, and justice must be served. So, after hearing the evidence, which was plain, The judge pronounced him guilty and then gave him a very large fine, of which he could not pay. But then he took out his own checkbook, paid the fine in full. Justice, mercy. For God so loved this world. Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. Who are you accountable to? Do you have peace in your life? Do you feel secure? Do you feel a part of? Ask Jesus into your heart today. Ask the Lord of peace to become your master. Look him up and down. Study his ways. Follow his lead. And he will bring you a peace that goes beyond all human understanding, and a sense of security that this world could never give. And finally, and most importantly, he will bring you back home, back to Eden, where you belong, where you are a part of. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Who are you accountable to? You know, every day in this country, somebody does something nice for somebody else. Today, why don't you let that somebody be you? Because the best vitamin for a Christian is B1. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. And remember, if you don't have faith, you don't have a prayer. Hope you can come back next week and we'll do it again. Until then, I hope you let God live in your life. And I bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.